You know, I'd rather start small and work out. I'm not worried about getting lost.
Senator Hannah?
It's not a killer issue.
I'm going to vote no.
On the bill, just per se, okay. Senator Roberts?
Favorable.
Well, you want to just confine it to U of O?
Sure, that's fine.
Now, what's your reaction to that? I am
nervous about that. In the 2 years of investigation that we did preliminary to coming forward with this bill, specifically one of the incidences was on Southern Oregon State campus, where a woman was assaulted and knew her assaulter, because I didn't know it, but said that's the man there when the officer arrived, but he could not arrest the man and he got away.
Chairman, if it's the...
I'm for system-wide, but...
Well, we would prefer that, obviously, but...
That's what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
In favor of
system-wide. System-wide. Okay, Senator Karen, are we going to lose
fine,
you?
Fine, no, that's okay.
Okay, system-wide. Training, DPST to train, or we leave that?
Just put that in the statute and they have to do it.
But DPST has to train?
Yeah.
That'll limit how many you get in anyway,
that's
because
right.
They only take a few.
Yeah. So DPST to do the training. Any other issues?
Guns.
No guns.
No guns.
No guns.
Chairman, I'm not clear on the status of students. What did you end
students
up
may
way?
Do it.
With training.
Yeah.
Only if they have the training. Yeah, that's
fine. If they go through the BPST.
I don't know what provision one, you exclude some statutes in the law.
That's probably PERS and all kinds of
things.
PERS
and all that
imagine.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And collective
bargaining statute.
Unmarked cars. Don't peace officers have the ability to drive in unmarked cars? I would like that eliminated.
Where'd you pull that one from?
Well, but that's never been an issue.
You want to put a little affirmative action in here, too? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I think that if we...
Senator Roberts?
If we just follow through on the idea of denoting these, as you suggest, as a special security
officer. Yeah, special campus security.
And then just said what specifically they can do, then we don't have to do all these other exclusions. The only change is the security office with respect to this one power. And so if you...
I think we're all right on it.
London wants him to have guns, though. I can
see. Me? Absolutely not.
Good. That's all I know. For the record, they don't want guns either.
Neither does the board. No one does.
Okay. We will put this together. We'll informally take a look at it, send it out. Senator Hannon's recorded no vote. Senator Cairns is lukewarm.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's lukewarm.
Most of those I don't have to carry. Give it to Senator Tro.
Give it to Senator Tro.
I'm a no vote, but you don't need me. You don't need Lennon and I on this one.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my concern is, and one witness alluded to Southern. I tell you something, and one of these days you're going to live to regret this if in fact it becomes law. One of your so-called peace officers is going to show up and say you're under arrest with a flashlight in the hand because the only thing they have, and they're all of a sudden a deputized police officer, and somebody's going to take that flashlight and just beat the peewad out of them and say, there, you can stuff your police officer and it means nothing. So you can play the fun and games and jump through all the hoops, but you can also come back here in a couple of years and say, it hasn't worked, and OSU is just as unsafe 2 years from now as it will be today.
We can give them bazookas if it
works. Turn it into a war field.
Okay, I think we're all right in this bill. Thank you very much. Now, let's do 229.
Move the bill.
That was it.
Move the bill.
Yeah. Okay.
What, excuse me?
I moved the bill.
Yeah.
Which bill?
2420.
Oh, I was moving 229.
Oh, there
we
go.
I
didn't
say that.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll see. You insist on seeing the bill?
I guess not.
Do we have 229?
Yeah. Sure. Chairman, let me give you a little background. You can read 229. It's pretty straightforward. I'm not sure why it's here, but it is here, and the bill has the B-engrossed version. The B-engrossed version of the bill simply says that it allows school buses to be equipped and requires Department of Education to adopt the four standards. That's all it does. It It also allows the school bus driver to report the identification of the vehicle violating that law. Right now, they got to run them down and put them under citizen's arrest, which is, of course, never happens. And what the bill is written simply lets them report the identification of the vehicle, and then the violation can be pursued. So
why did we get this? It's such a good idea.
Why don't we have our 229 advocate very briefly tell
why
us.
Why is it here?
For the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Mary Ann Shirley representing Oregon School Employees Association. The bill is here because originally in the Senate version of the bill, it required school districts to put stop arms on their buses. The House amendments made it optional for school buses. So that's why it's before.
Why didn't they kick it out there? Since they made it optional, it has no fiscal impact.
They said this came from House Transportation down here?
Yes.
Okay. Does the bill need any amendments?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Move the bill out.
Just a moment. I like to do it that quick too. But do we have any other people signed up?
Well,
they're just with me.
You like the bill?
Right. We're just trying to keep the first thing as short as possible.
Well, Mox like sticks.
Like the bill.
So that's
Mr. Chairman, just one quick thing. It's purely optional.
Yes.
Purely optional. But you like it? Okay. Okay. We're all right on 229. Floor do pass unamended.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry,
it's
optional, but
I saw
mine.
Okay, now we've now we're down to what's our final? No, I'm doing this.
I just barely made it to this one.
Now we have one more bill. You want to take a break before we? Why don't we take a 15-minute break? Come back. We'll come back at 9:30. 68. This is what is this? This is the Leo OEPP.
No.
What is this?
What is this?
Leo concept. It's the office of.
It's the history I ran through you on Saturday.
It's Office of Educational Policy and Planning.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Now this, I really need to have the issues for
laid out slowly.
By the numbers. Remember that?
There has always historically been an attempt to abolish the Education Coordinating Committee. I got into the discussion when Straub took office. Senator Failey and I, because at that time I chaired the subcommittee on education down here in Ways and Means, rewrote the statute that's currently on the books. Every session since that time, there's been an attempt to abolish it. There's been a lot of talk during the interim, and especially this session, and some discussion of it last session, of creating a legislative education office and creating it by abolishing the ECC and taking the money and putting it into a legislative education office. The policy issue that you introduce is twofold. One, you are in fact abolishing an executive agency that has more than planning functions. It also has management, fiscal, regulatory, as well as planning, if one looks at the statute. But you're also reorganizing the institution of the legislature haphazardly by selecting one area and saying, this is the area that we want to focus on full time. When the governor presented his budget, he had abolished the ECC. Quite frankly, I don't think... Is there anybody here from the governor's office? Good. He didn't know what ECC meant, and I'm sure he didn't know what it did or does.
They have really abandoned that, haven't they?
And I made a case to him that I thought it was foolish of him to abolish SHFTA, the Futures Commission, and ECC. All three were planning agencies. I also knew that the one interest group in education has always wanted to abolish the Education Coordinating Commission. So So I decided to take it upon myself to draft three alternatives, and I shared those with you. One is keep the status quo. One is to create an umbrella planning agency. And one is the amendments before you that changes the name ECC to an Office of Planning and Program or whatever it is, and basically keep the statute exactly the same, except eliminate the commission and most of the legislature's ties to it. I went to the governor and I delivered that paper to him. What are you looking at your watch? We got a whole day. Went to the governor and I delivered the paper to him. I had received no response. I met with the educational special interest groups and the chair of education committee on the House side, and I related all this to Senator Kitzhaber, and they decided, they being whoever was in the room, that what's in front of you is a good compromise. And I committed that I would work for its passage. Went to the governor's office, he said it was fine with him. And the next thing I knew, the Senate Education had moved out a Leo bill abolishing the ECC to the floor of the Senate.
That's 2034.
Whatever the number is. Now I also know, because I was here the day this subcommittee passed the ECC budget and basically said that we want ECC to continue. Quite frankly, I don't know where we are right now. I'm meeting with the educational interests this afternoon to find out what's going on.
Mr. Chairman?
No, Senator Hammond.
Well, I have the dubious distinction of carrying the ECC budget on the floor of the Senate, and the Senate chairman of the education committee, a member of this Ways and Means committee, wanted to know where supposedly other bills were that was dealing with the reorganization. I assured him at that time that certainly that was an appropriate issue. It's still for discussion and had no impact or bearing upon the passage of the ECC budget. The speaker here this morning has pretty well outlined that I think maybe what we need to do is allow the opportunity for the affected groups and individuals to come together and try to iron out once and for all again, because it seems like sifting sand. It changes from day to day depending on the current or the wind on what the makeup of this bill seems to have in it. One day it's a legislative education office, and the next day it's an educational activity within the governor's executive department. And quite frankly, I'm willing to listen to all the options and certainly bring something forth to reorganize it or make it whatever you want. But I think that we need to be cohesive in our efforts, either to maintain existing program and make some modifications or adjustments to it, and give it an opportunity to work itself out and eliminate some of the bugs, rather than trying to perhaps go for the whole nine yards all at one time and not really achieve the type of results that we might think that we're trying to achieve. And so I guess I'm just open to whatever the other committee members want to do.
Senator Cairns?
I'm operating at a far more pedestrian level. Whose name do I put on the top of what's identified as LC, members to 550, 850?
I guess mine, since I took it upon myself to try to work out the language of the so-called a compromise or the new suggestion. But quite frankly, I'll be very honest with you. I'm very honest with this committee. I like it the way it is right now. This is my compromise to get this issue resolved once and for all.
There are no once
and
for all.
And I guess there isn't any once and for all.
Miss Barbara Mitchell? I was told that you might have some comment and perspective on this. And
I'd be glad to.
This is not a command
question.
Performance, but
you well, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'd be glad to answer your
okay, why don't you come up and
sign up to Jessica.
Oh, you don't? No, you don't have to sign up with this.
Oops.
Barbara Mitchell. I'm administrator of the Senate Education Committee. And may I answer questions for you? Would you like me
to? Did you, what happened?
I don't know who all agreed to what. I do know that Senator Roberts introduced Senate Bill 328. It was introduced through the normal processes. It was heard by the Senate Education Committee in March. We held two hearings. The education interests supported that bill. It established a joint interim legislative committee in statute, set it up, amendments set it up like the revenue committee, that during the interim it would be joint. During the session, it would be a separate House and Senate committees. And it established a permanent staff office, legislative education office. This language, too, is modeled after the legislative revenue.
Why did you get a House bill?
No, we didn't. It was Senate Bill 328. That bill, after hearings and work session, was reported here to Ways and Means. It had subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And there was a Senate priority list that showed it as a priority item. And it never came up for hearing.
No, it was never a priority item.
Well, so you've taken Senate House Bill 2034.
Yes, after Senator Trowe, after the full Ways and Means presentation, and after the discussion on the floor, on the Senate floor, about House Bill 5068, the ECC budget, when no other bill showed up, House Bill 2034 was used. Now, Senate Bill 328, the way it was passed out of Senate Education Committee and reported here, had an appropriation in it. It did not abolish the ECC. New money was being sought. I think what Senator Trowe expressed in full Ways and Means, what he and Senator Roberts, Senator Wire said on the Senate floor, is that what had been heard about this other plan, whether it was with in the executive department, including education, health, and futures, or whether it was just renaming the ECC with the same duties, that it set up two separate staffs in the executive branch, and it transferred all the resources to the executive branch with nothing for the legislature.
Which is where it is right now.
What Senator Trowe's comments were on the Senate floor.
Excuse me, what you are now abolishing ECC with your actions in the Senate Education Committee, right?
That's true. On the Senate floor, the chairman, co-chairman of Ways and Means responded that if a subsequent bill came after the ECC budget bill, that it would have to amend it could amend the ECC budget bill and change the funding, disappropriating funding, and even some actions could be left to the emergency board to decide.
So that's what 2034
yes,
does.
It sets that up.
Okay. And as I understand it, the sum total of the cost of the staff that's been transferred into the governor's office and the sum total of the legislative education office, which would be created by 2034, would be less than the total for both ECC and governor's staff.
Yes. The way House Bill 2034 is arranged, the savings would be $200,000 of general fund.
What I got for Representative Katz, and I have
right here
the status quo or the office of OEPP. For Senator Trowe's position, I have a LEO office plus an increase
governor's
staff. Where is the governor?
The governor signed off on the proposal, the Dash amendments.
Which is
the OEPP, right. Although you're really not in love with it. You like
I
it.
Was, I guess I was willing to try to work out, and I'll tell you.
Where is it?
It was reported out Friday.
Okay. All right.
Let me tell you what. I also added to the fact that there were a lot of House bills In the House, there was a Leo on the House bill, too, legislative education. There was a legislative judiciary office. There was a legislative health care office. And they went on and on and on. And we made a policy decision on the House side to move all of those into the Rules Committee and look at the reorganization internally of interim staff, which we were looking at during the last interim. And that's on track. Those for the interim. It will not cost any additional money. It's doable, and it does begin to address the needs other than the education needs. And it does not abolish an executive branch agency. I think when you abolish an executive branch agency, that has to be done very thoughtfully, and also ought to be done in an arena where there's full discussion and full understanding as to who's going to take over all the roles of the executive branch agency right now. It's my understanding that in the bill that was moved out of the Senate Education Committee, they left it up to the governor to decide who's going to deal with all the functions that ECC is responsible for right now.
Mr. Chairman, may I explain that we did not abolish the degree granting statutes because that needs a statutory base, we believe. It deals with institutions from out of state, deals with new institutions starting in Oregon for degree granting. That statute is left in, and the conforming language would have the office of the governor, and then language in section 1, subsection 2 says that the governor can decide which functions he will perform, which he will delegate, and which will not be conducted. On the planning, other states do not have a very detailed planning statute like the ECC statute.
Right,
the governor can do planning. The governor appoints the state boards of education and higher education. He can tell them how he wants planning to be done.
We're one of the few states, we're probably the only state in the country that has a statewide comprehensive education plan in place. And it's thanks to the fact that the ECC brought boards of higher education and the boards of education together. I'm not convinced that the governor is terribly interested in education at this point. So I'd be a little nervous eliminating an executive agency and leaving it basically up to him to make the decision as to how that plan that's in place is to be implemented. And the plan is a work product of years and years of direction from this subcommittee to the ECC. And to leave it just hanging up in the air is irresponsible. Enough said. I don't know where any of this is right now, but this is the compromise version that the governor had signed off on, that the special interest groups have signed off, that at least the House Education Chair has signed off on, and the Senator Hitzhaker was aware of it. I don't know how much further that went.
The thing I find most attractive about this is the establishment of the permanent office in the legislature, in the sense that I think that actually works relatively well, and I think we need to do more of that. The two most powerful offices in the legislature are revenue and ways and means. They have permanent staff. Beyond that, I'm a little lukewarm on the whole discussion, Senator Hinn.
Mr. Chairman, where is 2034 for the reporting out of the Senate Education Committee on Friday? Where is it going to the desk, or is it coming down here? Or?
It doesn't have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on it.
But it has a fiscal impact.
Not exactly. It depends how you look at it. The fiscal decision was made in this committee to appropriate X number of dollars.
Fiscal decision was also made in this committee not to abolish the education curriculum.
Well, Al, let's not pick on Ms. Mitchell. Come on, let's, you know, she's...
Well, it's going to the Senate floor, and then it would have to come over to the House.
Yeah, for concurrence.
For concurrence only.
Exactly.
Our choices are is...
Maybe the Speaker wants maybe drop a dime and call the President.
I've talked to him.
Hello? Can we talk? Mr. Chairman, I'm not persuaded on any front in this entire process. I'm just, I don't know which way to move.
As I look at the various branches of government, I have different branches have different grasp of how they should operate and how the lines of authority should flow and who should be making policy. And being a lawyer, I've got a very good, relatively good grasp of the judiciary, a chief justice. And then, and maybe human resources, it's all over the map. But when it comes to education, I can't even conceptually handle, you have the superintendent out there and all the activities surrounding the superintendent's office or not office. You have the state system of higher education out there and all the activities surrounding that. You have the ECC. You have the legislative subcommittees, legislative committees. You have this committee. And it's an amazing conceptualization. The only thing I find attractive, and again, my gut says that the Legislative Education Office is probably attractive, but that's only in of itself, and that does not necessarily imply abolition of the ECC.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it seems that Senator Froh is fairly deeply opposed to the amendment that Representative Katz has presented this morning, at least from his memorandum to us this morning. Is that not correct?
I hadn't seen his
memorandum. Well, it comes in an envelope which was in front of each of our desks this morning. I don't know what
that's
called.
That echoes what Senator Troll said in full Ways and Means and what he said on the Senate.
Okay, so he's really hacked at the idea from reading the right hand column here that he is. And I guess he speaks probably for the majority, if not the entirety, of the Senate Education Committee.
The Senate Education Committee Friday voted it out unanimously. There was bipartisan support.
All right.
And they'd also voted out Senate Bill 328 establishing the LEO in April.
Mr. Chairman, it puts me in sort of an awkward position when my senator, who was a staunch supporter of the ECC, and I had not supported it in its original creation, stand here and basically now support the ECC and find him wanting to get rid of it. The question, I feel a little bit like everybody's trying to reorganize education all in one fell swoop, and I don't understand where we're quite act. I feel like the Mongol herds are attacking your herds or herds and herds. They're attacking Europe. But on this, I'd like to know what the difference is between the functions of the ECC and your bill, Vera, your amendment.
It's basically left the same
as to the powers.
It's called the same thing, but it abolishes the commission, which was something that the educational interests really opposed.
What, the commission or abolishing the commission?
The commission.
They want to abolish.
So it really abolishes the commission.
Well, you mean you wouldn't have the people who were on the commission on this particular planning group right here?
Right.
So this would be, how would these people serve on this? Who would become the planners in this?
Actually would be the staff, and the governor then would have the authority to appoint any task force.
One of the real benefits of the ECC, why I may not always agree with what they come down on, but they've done some good work, and that commission has been an exceptionally high caliber commission.
Let me give you an example.
We're on the floor in 5 minutes.
Mr. Chair, let me give you a small example of why it's important to have somebody removed from everybody and everywhere. And it's very small, and it's not terribly significant, but it just happened this morning. A chair of a substantive committee came to me with amendments to a bill on community colleges. Looking at the amendments, I didn't quite understand what it was to do. Who did I turn to? Would I have turned only to staff? Probably. Would I have gotten a full answer? I don't know. I turned to the executive director of the ECC, who then brought me together with the community college director to deal with the issue. I got both sides of the issue, and I know what has to be done now. I mean, that's the importance of having somebody outside of staff reviewing concepts and policies with the history behind the pros and cons. That's how policy is made, not completely in the political arena on educational planning.
We're going to carry this over, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, we're here. So, tomorrow, thank you.